call the Tuesday, February 17th Common Council meeting to order, and I welcome Deputy Clerk Roberts, who is pinch hitting for Sandy. Would you please call the roll?
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Mark D'Andrea?
Here.
Alderman Dan Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Kristen Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderwoman Janet Evans?
Here.
Alderman Doug Schmidt?
Present.
Alderwoman Suzanne Mayer?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We got an Eagle Scout. We'll have him lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, Scout Wesselowski.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't go away, Tom. Don't go away. Citizen comment period is after this. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on any issue? Any citizen wishing to speak? Ma'am, please come forward. Give us your name and address for the record.
Good evening. I'm Christine Flash, 11220 West Carroll Circle, Franklin, Wisconsin.
Welcome.
Thank you. Very nice to be here. I stopped into Mark's office earlier this week and spoke with him about something special that I'm planning to incorporate here in the city of Franklin, and that is a resident symphony orchestra by the name of the Southwestern Suburban Symphony. I think I have spoken with Mayor Olson about this, and I have met a few times with Steve Krause and Dr. Patz and told them my vision of bringing a wonderful top-notch orchestra to this city and perhaps performing at the Sabre Center for the Performing Arts, which is spectacular. I have had an opportunity to visit. So I am here this evening because I would like to ask whether you might be considering allowing me to post an invitation to the people of Franklin in the newsletter to come together and start to form a support group for the Southwestern Suburban Symphony, a boosters club, if you will, a symphony guild. And I receive the newsletter. I read it cover to cover every time it arrives. And I think it's an excellent way to reach every citizen in the city of Franklin. But I understand this is a little unusual. So Mark invited me to come tonight and just tell you what I had in mind and then to ask whether you might consider allowing me to do this. So that's my piece. Do I need to do anything else? I do tap dance.
Sure, why not? That's got to be a first.
Okay. Thank you for hearing me out, and I appreciate it very much.
We're a little late for this current newsletter, so we'll consider it for the summer.
I appreciate that. Thanks for your time.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Or tap dance? Mr. Bolt.
Kurt Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive. I did want to thank the council and Mark Liberta specifically for getting the funds for attending the Wisconsin Master Naturalist class approved for myself and Sharon Kusta. It was sort of a fire drill for Mark Liberta, and I know when it first came up, I thought the best way to do it is to just, you know, vote on the issue when it came up, but he said, well, when it comes up, we'll take care of it, and he did. So, thanks again to Mark and to the Common Council. One of the things they have been trying to do, and one of the things I think the Master Naturalist program might move forward, is trying to get citizens more involved in some of the natural areas that the city does own. They aren't technically parks because, you know, they're more the manicured type thing, but I'm interested in doing that. I had noted that there was a nature center on the agenda for tonight, so I'll be staying around listening to that. And just wanted to say thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Bolton. Anyone else wishing to speak? Don't be bashful. Ms. Runty.
Shelley Runty, 8235 West Coventry Drive. I am here on behalf of Kalo's crew, and we are number 7 on the agenda for reports and recommendations, and I would just like to encourage Mayor Olson and Common Council members to strongly consider the name of our all-inclusive playground for all abilities to be named Kayla's Playground. Our advisory board of Kayla's crew has voted it to be Kayla's Playground as a name, but we encourage you also to consider that Without Kayla and her life story, there would be no project and there would be no playground. So all the details that are within our mission and our vision statements are from her life. So without her, it wouldn't be a playground. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Anyone else? Last chance. I will close the citizen's comment period. We now come to item B2, mayoral announcements and proclamations. In your packet, items B through E are proclamations honoring various recipients of awards from the Chamber of Commerce. For the record, I don't think we'll read those. But, Alderman Mayor, if you'll join me, Eagle Scout Wesolowski, please come forward.
Basically, to give you a very, very brief idea, my project was at Faith Community Church on 76th Street, just north of Drexel. They have a pond on their property. What I designed was a reflection path as well as a meeting area on their property that connects the community behind the church to the church and also serves as a meeting place for their outdoor service. They've since used it. They had an outdoor service out there before it got too cold. They were also able to use it for their Relay for Life event that they held there. So it's great that now it's been able to actually get some use already. And hopefully, kind of my goal with the project, my main goal with it was to make it something that was used rather than something that's just kind of built and sits there. I want it to be something that's kind of actively used. So thankfully, the church has been able to make very good use of it so far, and hopefully, if it's still there after everything melts, they'll be able to continue to use it for many years to come.
Thank you, Thomas. All of you here.
Thomas is a resident of District 2, so I have the honor and privilege of attending his Eagle Scout ceremony last Sunday, and he had a great turnout. The project was really well received. It connects the neighborhood with the church, and it's a great, great thing, great asset to the community. So I commend Thomas. Very nice job.
And let us take just a couple of minutes for pictures. Quickly.
right? You're not
good.
Item C, in your package you have minutes from the regular meeting on February 3rd. Any additions or corrections?
So moved. That's corrected.
Second.
That's for the corrected copy?
I said it's corrected, yes.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D, hearings. For a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change a future land use map use designation for property located at 9201 West Drexel Avenue from mixed use and areas of natural resource future to residential multifamily use. Madam Deputy Clerk, you have a notice to read.
Yes. Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, February 17, 2015 at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the City, at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the future land use map use designation for property located at approximately 9201 West Drexel Avenue from mixed use and areas of natural resource features used to residential multifamily use and areas of natural resource features use the LaSalle Group applicant. The property, which is the subject of this application, bears tax key number 794-9994-003, consisting of approximately 6.9 total acres of land. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Wisconsin Statute Section 66.1001, parens 4, parens D. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the City Clerk at Franklin City Hall during normal business hours. The proposed draft ordinance is also available and open for inspection by the public at the Franklin Public Library during normal business hours. In addition, the draft ordinance is available for review at the city's website. Any questions or comments about the proposed amendment to the Comprehensive Master Plan may be directed to Joel Dietl.
Well done. Thank you. It appears that we have a properly noticed public hearing. I will first ask Planning Manager Dietl for the highlights.
Thank you. As the public hearing notes, the location of the property, the proposed project is an envisioned CBRF, community-based residential facility for memory care and assisted living, a single-story building, approximately 46 units. They are on the agenda tonight. In addition to this public hearing for the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment, they're also on the agenda tonight for the associated special use and a natural resource special exception. It can be noted that approval of this Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment would bring the future land use of this property to be similar to or same as the zoning. The existing zoning right now is multifamily. And it is one of the factors looked at in special uses is the harmony of the proposed project with the Comprehensive Master Plan.
So this is an amendment to the Comprehensive Master Plan, merely changing from mixed use to multifamily.
Yes.
Who's here for the applicant?
The applicant has a team available to answer questions or give a presentation if that's what the council wishes.
Well, let me open the public hearing. This is a public hearing. I have now opened it regarding this matter, changing from mixed use to multifamily residential. Is there anyone wishing to speak on the subject? Anyone wishing to speak on the subject? Mr. Bolton, please.
Kurt Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. am a member of the Environmental Commission as well. And when this matter came up before the Environmental Commission, I don't know that it had any real objections to what was being proposed. And in many ways, it was like the previous exemptions to the Natural Resources Protection Plan that came before the Environmental Commission. The wetlands weren't approved. The delineation was not approved by the state of Wisconsin, and we hadn't heard from the Army Corps of Engineers whether they had any jurisdiction. I brought this issue up at just about every special exemption that came before the Environmental Commission. It doesn't seem like anything has really changed, but it seems to me that it'd be easier for the Environmental Commission to, you know, thoughtfully and thoroughly look at the application if they knew for sure that the boundaries had been approved by somebody besides somebody working for the developer. And I'm not suggesting that anybody is not doing what they should do. All I'm saying is that sometimes people make mistakes. We're all human. And so it does make sense to have the DNR look at the wetland delineations and concur with them and get some kind of idea from the Army Corps of Engineers whether they're going to have jurisdictions or not. So it does help the Environmental Commission in doing their job. I think it does help a developer such as the LaSalle Group, because then they know exactly, before they start doing any planning, what they can do with the property and what possible implications there might be. There is another way that this does help out the city. It helps out staff. There is some kind of mistake and they have to go through the process all over again, save staff time, because we know ahead of time that everything's been properly done. So I'm not here to say nay or yay on that. The Environmental Commission has spoken on that issue. All I'm asking for is that maybe the Common Council might think about doing something different as far as, you know, how natural resource protection is handled, and hopefully require developers, before they come for a natural resource exemption, to have the wetland concurred by the DNR and some kind of statement from the Army Corps of Engineers as far as their jurisdiction as well.
Thank you, Mr. Bolton. Anyone else wishing to speak on the zoning change? Mr. Lewandowski.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I have no objections to a memory care facility, because I visited two of them here in Franklin over the weekend, and I know what they're about. I just want to point out the fact that doing this building in the wetlands is not a very good idea. It's not acceptable to me, and I'm recommending that this building be built where the bowling alley is, because there is a healing park back there. There is Wheaton Cancer facility there. Also, there is plenty of room out here at the Wheaton Hospital that they could build that at, which is a could be a good medical center, and it would be closed for anybody that needed medical attention. And I just can't see wasting all this time and really damaging the wetland. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski.
My name is Dave Meyer. I represent Wetland and Waterway Consulting. Our firm is the one who did the wetland delineation on the property. We're based in Big Bend, Wisconsin. Been doing this type of work for 14 years. Prior to that, I spent 22 years working for the Army Corps of Engineers and the DNR. I may have even bumped into several of you during the course of my regulatory activities during those 22 years. I say that to let you know that I do understand the regulatory process in the Department of Natural Resources and the Army Corps of Engineers. I was the guy who implemented it in this part of the state for years. I understand the gentleman's concern about wetland delineation accuracy. I would tell you, in these particular situations, however, when an application is brought in front of the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers, particularly this time of year when the growing season is gone, we have snow on the ground, and we can't review a delineation out there, they have the authority to review the delineation at the desktop level as part of the application package. The two people that will be reviewing this are Travis Schrader, will be the senior water management specialist from the DNR, He will be assisting a brand new water management specialist who has just been brought on board, is learning the ropes right now, and Travis will actually be carrying the water on this. I know Travis for a very long time. I've already spoken to him and told him about this project, and he is perfectly aware of what's coming up. Marie Kopka will be the reviewer. Well, they're switching chairs right now. It will either be Marie Kopka or Anthony Jernigan will be one of the two core representatives. I know both of them very well, and they know my work very well. They will also review the wetland delineation package and the report in conjunction with the entire permit application package for a wetland fill. So there's no concern in my mind, number one, about the accuracy. I've been doing this for a very long time. I know what's out there, and you can rely upon the information I provided to you. And I'm also certain that the application is going to go through the DNR and the Corps smoothly from that standpoint. I don't make any proclamations as to whether the Corps or the DNR will ultimately issue the wetland permits, being appropriate for me to do that. But I would also like to point out, for those of you who may not have read the report, that the wetlands that we are talking about out there are highly degraded. The ones that are proposed for impact are highly degraded. There's a very small circular spot up in the old fill area that's a result of inappropriate or incomplete grading activities that were undertaken on that site many years ago. I see this all the time on old industrial and commercial sites that have been graded and filled. A little swale is left there, enough rainwater falls over the years, and with surrounding wetland vegetation bumping their seeds out over the years, you'll have a small swale obtain wetland characteristics. That's one of the ones we're dealing with. The second one is a non-functional ditch that was originally part of the city's stormwater conveyance plan off of Drexel Avenue. It is defunct now. The culvert that used to feed that ditch has been removed. It is a very low-quality wetland ditch that ultimately leads into the greater wetland on the south end of the property. That wetland is a good wetland. That's part of the secondary environmental corridor, multi-acres in size. It goes way off the site that we're dealing with. It's a combination of sedge meadow, shrub car, lowland hardwood forest out there. And none of that, absolutely none of that, is earmarked by Autumn Leaves for impact of any kind. Yes, sir?
No, not for you, for the mayor.
Okay. So with that, again, I just want you to understand that the review process, the Corps and the DNR probably have already started undertaking. We have already submitted the application package last week to them. We'll address the wetland issues completely. I don't think there's going to be any holdup from that respect. And I also want to assure you that no wetlands of any significance whatsoever, quality-wise, are being impacted.
Thank you. Kind of gotten astray here at the public hearing. It's okay. The public hearing is regarding the change from a mixed use to a multifamily. Anyone else wishing to speak on whether to change it from mixed use to multifamily? Anyone else? Alderman, Mr. Lewandowski.
8030 West Winston Way. I just want to bring up the fact that when Meyer's store was going in, we did everything possible, passed all the changes, and then the DNR shut them down. The Department of Transportation didn't approve of it. So here again, the city is doing the work with the horse behind the wagon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski.
I need another chance. It's important to address this, I think.
Well, the public hearing relates to a zoning change, not to the master plan. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So I think I'm going to not recognize you based on that.
Okay.
Not that I don't want to hear you, but it's just anyone else wishing to speak on the change of the comprehensive master plan? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment and then ask Common Council. Common Council members, Alderman Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, the Environmental Commission has certain needs that they have to accomplish, and sometimes the process within the city needs to be looked at for that. But the Environmental Commission did approve this particular project. Another project that the Environmental Commission has been looking at for a long time is, and it's related to the recognition that as Franklin grows, there's not always enough room on certain parcels to mitigate the wetland. So we've been looking at off-site projects to make up for that wetland that's lost. And this particular example, this particular project, is a shining example, and actually it's the first example of how that wetland mitigation is going to be done off-site. And if I may, at your pleasure, perhaps ask former Alderman Donovan to step forward. One of his organizations is going to be a benefactor of this particular project. And I think since all of this discussion about the wetlands has been going on, I think it's important just to hear briefly about that.
Is there a motion to suspend the rules and allow former Alderman Dorson to speak?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, that was encouraging.
A little more enthusiasm.
Good to see you, Don.
Great to be back up here, people. Mayor Alderman.
I'm pleased to expand a little bit on what the Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy is very excited and interested in doing to provide a space for off-site mitigation for this project. As you probably are all aware, the Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy owns a couple of parcels and holds an easement on some property here in Franklin, as well as a property in Milwaukee. We are an entirely volunteer organization. Many of us are Franklin residents. The particular property that that we're looking at conducting this mitigation on is the Prairie Grass Preserve. The Carity Preserve property, which is located within walking distance of this particular project. It is right by the Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision, which was the site of the Parade of Homes back in 2006, 2007, something like that. So. 2002? Time flies. So, we've been managing that property ever since then. We're very, very good at getting grants. We've been doing a lot of restoration on that property throughout the years. This would be our first attempt at doing compensatory mitigation for a project here in Franklin. As you said, I was an alderman in the past, and I know that for decades this has been an issue. You know, the city's got some very excellent wetland and natural resource protection ordinances, but where do you do the mitigation in cases like this? There hasn't been a place. We offer a solution for that currently here in Franklin. This property is in the same watershed, which fits the city's ordinance, and what you would be doing in this case, as was stated before, you've got some very degraded, very low-quality wetlands here, but for the city's ordinance, we've got to maintain those. What you're going to be doing is you're going to be swapping, in effect, those low-quality wetlands, these degraded resources, in exchange for some very high-quality restoration work on a project that is under very, very active management and will provide the city with much greater biodiversity than what is currently available. And also, very importantly, this is publicly accessible land. You know, part of our charter is that it has to be available to the public. So you're going to swap, in summary, low quality for high quality, private for public. It's a win all the way around.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
For questions.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Motion to go back to regular order.
So moved.
Second.
All those. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On the public hearing, any other questions from the council? Is there a desire to move to item G2, G3? An ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin's 2025 future land use map for the property located at approximately 9201 West Drexel Avenue from mixed use and areas of natural resource features to residential multifamily use and areas of natural resource features.
So moved.
Second.
So your motion is to adopt as per the bottom of the council action?
Yes.
Alderwoman Wilhelm, under discussion.
This just has to pertain to the future projects like this.
I kind of saw this already as being a mixed-use type, less than a residential, so I was a little puzzled by that. So I guess for the future, Mayor, if we could have this as a future agenda item, because this is the second time we've had sort of issues with, is it R8, is it mixed-use, is it, so it, maybe we need to re-look at that, and maybe this wouldn't have been a whole change of use, and so that was my comment. I'm fine with the rezoning.
We had that discussion change. With the Plan Commission, but I think it's appropriate. We'll do it here at Committee of the Whole. Anyone else with questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Well, let's just finish it off. A resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use, this is G4, for a 46-unit community-based residential facility, multifamily memory care residence facility use on the property located at 9201 West Drexel Avenue.
Move to approve.
Second.
I wasn't finished. With staff recommendations.
Mr. Deedle. Is that your second?
Yes, it is.
Those staff conditions being?
Yep. For the special use, the staff's recommendations with two changes are already in the resolution. The two changes the Plan Commission and the applicant didn't agree to. One was moving some parking from the buffer yard that's adjacent to Drexel Avenue. So that recommendation of staff is not in the resolution here. The second one was the mitigation plan. Some additional information was provided to the council, updated cost numbers and acreage numbers. Staff would still be looking for a map of where these activities will take place on that property, the Carity Prairie. So we would believe that recommendation would still be valid and is still in the resolution. The only other thing I would mention was there are some suggestions that aren't in this resolution.
One of those suggestions was to add windows to the front of the building, which they've done, some landscaping changes.
And brick
to offset the design. Alderman Wilhelm.
Mr. Deedle, are you comfortable with the amount of changes? Is there any particular one that you would like to see? I know you talked about the parking when we were on the phone. What is the front yard setback from the road? How many feet?
I don't remember. It may be shown on one of the maps.
I did see it on one of the maps, but it was pretty small, and I didn't bring out my large one. I guess... I know you would like to see that, and typically I might support that, but when I looked at the map, it seemed to me like the building was set fairly far back, and so I was okay with that. If you don't have any strong objections, I think that we should just allow it.
One other note, though, if I could?
Yes, Mr.
Signage. After the Plan Commission action on this item, Planning Department talked with the Building Inspection Department. Building Inspection Department said that in projects like this, they don't review signage. In the council action sheet, we note that it probably should be pointed out that planning staff would then review the signage. I would suggest, I guess, either that be added to the motion or added as a condition in the resolution.
You still have the floor.
That was actually one that I missed on the previous one because my pages were stuck together. But, yes, I think that's a very good idea to include the signage because there is signage in this package that, and I thought it looked appropriate. Now, why are they going to send them through all this extra process when it could just be done that way? So I would ask that the maker of the motion maybe include that.
Yeah, I would agree to include the signage in the motion.
Alderman Mayor, it's nodding up and down, which means yes.
Yes.
Also, for the record, I'd really like one of the applicants to come forward and state the tax situation with the property. Mr. Glover, please. Just yell it in the mic and we'll be happy.
This is Jason Glover with the LaSalle Group. We're the applicant of the Autumn Leaves of Franklin project. Thank you for having us here. For the record, this is a private pay community. We will be paying property taxes, and we will remain paying property taxes. The project will remain taxable.
Thank you, Mr. Glover. Any other questions? Alderwoman Mayer.
At the Plan Commission meeting, it was highly recommended that the neighborhood across the street be contacted. Do you know if that was done?
Yes, we held a neighborhood meeting last Wednesday, February 11th, and we had two people that showed up, and they were both supportive of the project.
Alderman Dan Rio.
Going through the material, I was wondering, is this a secured facility, so it'll be locked?
Yes, it's secured.
It is?
Correct.
Around the clock locked?
Yes. Okay. It's like a delayed egress system.
Oh, okay.
Secured
okay.
Facility.
Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion as amended signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Let's go to item G5. Is there a motion to adopt the standards and findings and decision of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application of LaSalle Group, Inc. for a special exception to certain natural resources provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Hold on 1 second. Sure. Alderman Wilhelm.
There is a correction that needs to be made. It talks about the property known as Legend Creek Carity Prairie, and the property is page 86 of the packet, last page of the standards and findings decision document. That would be the one where your signature would be on that. It's Legend Creek should be stricken. It's not called Legend Creek Carity Prairie. It's just Carity Prairie.
Oh. The fourth line from the bottom of that page, bottom of that paragraph.
And then I had just a couple other things, because in front of us there was a new document, MOU, which is has some wetland acreage on it, which are a little bit different than the acreage in here, so I'd just like a clarification on what the actual acreage of wetland impact. I'm not concerned about the buffer, but it's a wetland impact. It's just a little bit off on in the site intensity calculations, the sheet that they're talking about here, and then this MOU. They should all be a consistent figure, and they're just a little bit off. So I think staff should probably address that so we know exactly what we're getting. It's not far enough off where it would be too much of a concern, but for consistency, it should be corrected for future issues. I wanted to just make some real positive comments about the project as far as the Natural Resource Protection Plan was colored very properly, and I didn't have to get out my colored pencils and spend all night trying to figure out what was actually being impacted, so I greatly appreciate that. It does, as the consultant spoke very highly, was it protects the main secondary environmental corridor, and there were a couple issues where he talked about habitat, and I thought, oh, that's not quite right, and then he clarified it very nicely. I thought the report was very well done. This is the type of project where you have man-made wetlands, and you're saving the best part of the site, and I think this was probably done the best that I've seen on a development for this type of hard. It's a tight site. I remember when they came for the concept review, I said, well, I was probably one that was half and half on this and said if the alderman of the district was okay with it, but I would be watching to see how their wetland issues panned out, and I thought they did a good job on that. I appreciated the infiltration, the planted buffer areas. One thing I was wondering if they would consider would be in those planted buffer areas, I think we need to allow them to at least mow them once a year, put some language in there that would allow at least a once-a-year mowing of non-shrub-type buffers so they can do that. And otherwise, they turn into these weedy areas, and people say, well, native landscaping looks like weeds. That's because if you don't do some type of maintenance in there, it usually can turn into weeds. And then possibly a signage that says no spray zone, since this is kind of taking place of some of that buffer area. As far as mitigation, I appreciate the Land Conservancy's stepping up to the plate and providing that. I would ask that the council always move forward with caution on just flat approving mitigation, because I just don't want to see us go, well, just because we have another option, that we're going to jump to that conclusion right away. So please consider that on future projects. That this one was unique in the fact that it was a man-made ditch. I did go out to the site prior to the snow, right after the concept review. I looked a lot at the site. I saw where the drainage, how they created that ditch to take the drainage from across the road. It looked like, to me, they had scooped out this drainage ditch and put probably the pile where that wetland was, and then when they came and picked up that pile from creating that ditch, they probably created that depression where that other wetland eventually created about 15 years ago. So I like that they recognized the important features of the site and paid very attention to that issue. So so the negative would be the care with mitigation and the correction that need to be taken place. And I think I already talked about the front yard setback, and I think that was all my comments on that.
Mr. Schmidt, you were the maker of the motion. Did your motion include language that would include mowing of non-shrub areas one time per year and staff recommended signage that says no spray zone?
I believe it does now.
Did your second include that language, Mayor?
Sure.
All right. Anyone else? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Let's now go back to my second favorite constituent, report by Franklin Senior Citizens, Inc., specifically Madam Shirley Bird, who is accompanied by her son, Tom Bird, who is chairman of the Town of Vernon.
Which item on that?
He's two. He's one.
G1.
Okay. We'll do Mr. Knipple and friends. And he's got friends here.
Yep. One.
Fred Walker, please give us the name and address.
I will.
I wanted Shirley first.
What was that again?
I wanted to
put her on the agenda.
Shirley, come on up.
She's prettier than you guys.
Well, she's a good part of the organization.
Go ahead. There you go. I'll get over it.
I'll let her sit here by the microphone.
No. Casper, she's going to get her own stage. My name is Fred Knipple, 5659 West Cascade Drive. I'm current president of the Franklin Senior Citizens, Inc. This is Casper Green.
He lives at
3519
West Forest Hill.
Forest Hill. I gave you what we're going to present. I'm not going to read it all, but you can follow along what we have to tell you. We are very thankful that you've allowed us to appear before you. We're happy to inform you as to what we do and why. And it is estimated that Franklin has between 7,000 and 8,000 senior citizens over the age of 55. As you just heard, the memory care and dementia and these things are all going to be affecting us shortly. The Franklin Senior Citizens Organization was set up and was designed to represent everyone of the 7,000 to 8,000 senior citizens in Franklin. In fact, our bylaws state clearly that to join our organization, a person must be a resident of Franklin. A vast majority of the senior citizens living in Franklin have not joined, even though we've encouraged them to join. Hence, our letter of invitation, which you have a copy of, to join was included in the Franklin City newsletter. We did get several inquiries, and we're going to do more of that to get more people involved in our organization. We are constantly encouraging them to join. And the Franklin Senior Citizens Organization provides valuable information on a continual basis to the Franklin Senior Citizens at a regular monthly business meeting,
which is held at Clifford's in Hales Corners. We began holding our meetings at Clifford's some years ago because of the lack of space in various venues in Franklin. Probably of you have heard of and may know a gentleman by the name of John Ackred. He has his office across the street in the Aurora Clinic. Mr. Ackred is a high-ranking officer in the Aurora Network and has been very helpful to the Franklin Senior Citizens Organization, providing us with experts in various health fields, from physical health to mental health, at our monthly meetings. Aurora, mainly through the efforts of Mr. Ackred, has provided us with doctors, physicians, speaking on subjects as diverse as psychology, lung disease, kidney disease, cancer, eye care, and many other deadly diseases. If you know any older people, that's what we usually talk about. What ails us? So we get speakers on that.
Why are you looking at me, Fred?
We're hoping you'll join when you're, you know, after you get older.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Well done. Sorry, I threw you off.
Yeah, the many other deadly diseases regarding how we seniors can take measures to help ourselves from contracting the various diseases that are out there, and in addition, how to take care of ourselves should we actually contact disease. Mr. Ackred has provided us with psychiatric experts as well. Everyone knows that mental health has become a huge issue with senior citizens. We seniors enjoy life just as younger people do, but as our age increases, our physical prowess inevitably declines. Some of us to the point that we have to depend on others for help. But any normal senior wants to delay the onset of asking for help as long as possible. This is what we realize as an organization. Most seniors are reluctant, very reluctant, to ask for help. So we try and inform them, let them know that we care, that we have places that they can get help. Not to be redundant, but we invite experts, doctors, physicians on various issues important to senior citizens. Again, Mr. Ackert has been very helpful in that regard. He, along with Aurora Healthcare Systems, have been a very good friend to Franklin seniors. And most importantly, he nor Aurora never charges us for a thing. We try to be, our favorite word as seniors is free. The above statements are not meant to say that others are not helpful. They are, but we mention Aurora and Mr. Ackert's name because they have been most consistent in furnishing help to us. For instance, we've had experts on living wills, experts in funeral care, and experts in various medical care come and talk to our assembled group. We furnish people who attend our meetings with so many different and varied subjects that it's hard to list them all. There are many of them in the other pages of what we do, but I'm not going to read them. Closer to home, we appreciate the attendance at many of our meetings of a representative from the Franklin Police Department. They keep us informed of the many scams that are prevalent in today's society. We constantly remind our seniors, be careful who you talk to, be careful with your credit card, everything like that, because we as seniors happen to be a target for that type of scam. We've invited the fire department personnel to our meetings to talk about fire safety. The police and fire departments both know that we have an open door policy for them. They can come anytime. They don't have to be on the agenda. Just show up. They're welcome. They can talk about anything. We have a liaison from the city police department. He just retired, Officer Robert Berries. We offered to give him a lifetime membership, but he said, nope, he's moving where it's warm. Our Franklin Senior Citizens Organization is also involved in city functions such as the library and health fair, which is held every fall. Many of our senior citizens participate by working at the library and the yearly health fair, and we're happy to do it. Many of our senior citizens volunteer at the senior meal site, which is held in the community room right through that wall. We're happy to volunteer at all these functions because it is known that activity extends life. We're all about socialization, keeping our members active, and giving them opportunities to get involved. We have a very active walking club held each week at the county sports complex right here in Franklin. We have very good leadership of the walking club. They work very hard to keep the club going, and in fact, the membership is growing. On average, about 60 walking club members attend each Thursday, and about 150 active members belong to the club. Now, that's open to every resident of Milwaukee County, not just Franklin seniors, because that's a Milwaukee County thing. And that program was started by Mr. Tom Schneider when he first organized the Franklin seniors as a nonprofit. That was one of the things that he wanted to include, was physical activity for seniors. And then Ed Waldock and Marilyn took over for quite a while and did that. And now Russ Sapansky and his wife Pat are taking it over. And I have to mention, they've been very active and very good at doing things. And they were instrumental in getting a defibrillator donated for that facility. So if somebody were walking and had a heart attack, there is a device there that possibly can save their life. And that was through Pat and Russ's activities. I'm not going to talk about that. We've said enough. Some people think and have said so openly that all we seniors do at our monthly meetings is go there and eat and play cards. That view of the organization is incorrect, I have to state. We have a mission to accomplish for the senior citizens of Franklin, and we do our best to accomplish that mission. We think we are accomplishing that mission, and again, we thank you for supporting us. The other pages that I gave you are things that go along with this. As we thought of the many things that the Franklin seniors have done in our 44-year history, a lot of it involved volunteering on boards and commissions, being Santa Claus at the tree lighting ceremony, and Mrs. Claus, I can't forget the better half, and many other things. Let's see. Bill Weckerer from the Franklin Health Department and Carol Sibilski, they have an open invitation. Anytime they have information, come on in, tell us what's going on. The walking club, I have to tell you, they collectively walk in 13 years that club has been in existence, 1 million miles of all the people going round and round in the complex and up and down the trails. Now, Russ and Pat have also been, they've donated benches along the Oak Creek Trail. They donated birdhouses and posts along the trail. They donated funds for the front entry landscaping at the county complex. And again, they do all that through weekly donations by members and arm twisting by Russ and some of the other members to get donations. So they, yeah, Tom and Leona Keene. They don't charge any dues, and the only thing you ever pay is $5. One time you get a walking shirt that says Franklin Seniors Walking Club. And that's it. Then you go every Thursday. You're welcome to walk. They have coffee and donuts and conversation and all sorts of good things.
Which is donated.
Which is donated, yeah. A little arm twisted. That's the extent of what I have to say. The other things that are on there are just things that we came up with as we were talking and discussing giving a report to you guys. This is actually our first report in 44 years. So we're happy to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Knippel. Mr. Green. In the council packet on the council action sheet, there is some financial highlights. 2014, of the $10,000 allocated by the city, $8,748.97 was spent. So you returned some money, which is not bad. Questions? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, thanks. I appreciate this because I have been coming to council meetings and I've never seen
44 years.
Right. So that's nice. But because I haven't seen one, I do have some questions, so don't be offended by my questions. For the Franklin Senior Social that happens on the Wednesdays, that's a $2 cost reimbursement. What do you think could up your membership there? Because it's pretty low in comparison to your business luncheon.
It's held at Brentwood Senior Apartments on Loomis Road, mm-hmm. and it's primarily, they come to play cards. There's a variety of games that the ladies and the people that are there that play. And we've had inquiries on playing bridge. We've had inquiries on, you know, do you play anything other than sheepset? Because we get a lot of new residents. They don't know what sheepset is. And we we don't have members that are bridge players or anything other than Sheepshead. So it is limited, but if we get more members, you know, whatever they want to do, the Brentwood Apartments has a Wii game, so you can bowl, you can do all sorts of things. They have it right in the same room.
But if you had, you know, the same amount of attendance like you have on this, is, you know, like 100 members, would you have enough room for 100 members to come to that facility?
Yeah, it's rated for 225. We used to hold our regular business meeting there, and at one time we outgrew it, and we couldn't hold it anymore.
Is there any particular reason why it's there and not at a more public place than a private building?
When Mark Carstensen built that, the Franklin Seniors supported the building of the senior apartments, and Mark purposely built a room for the seniors. And that is their community room, their activity room. If he hadn't have done that, that building would be much different and there wouldn't be a facility like that.
So in a sense, even though it's a private building, it's a public for that event, is what you're kind of saying.
For any of our members that want to go there, they're welcome.
Okay. All right, that's helpful. And then I noticed it says that you charged $15 for other costs. What do people get for their $15 annual due?
Bingo. They get gift cards from Pick and Save, where we buy our
food.
And
those happen at the business meetings?
Then? Yeah, at the business meeting. We're a nonprofit 501c3. We're a nonprofit charity. Mm-hmm. We've had that designation since we came into existence. The reason for that was Mr. Tom Schneider wanted to develop the community room into a senior resource center. There were plans to help fund and build a community center, which didn't come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And through the years, we've maintained our nonprofit status in the hope that when Franklin does get a community center, that we can become a part of it, and our public charity can get grants and donations, because, as you know, a lot of corporations will only donate to nonprofits.
Yes.
So we can help when the city of Franklin needs that that benefit, and we'd be glad to do that. That was always part of our mission, was to develop that resource.
So for the $15, do you have people that can't afford that? Do you have a grant source to?
Well, we don't have a grant, but we do tell people that if you cannot afford it, just come and talk to one of the officers and we'll waive the membership. We have many of our members that are now in nursing homes. We consider them honorary members, and we don't charge them annual dues.
Okay.
So anybody, you know, we're very aware that we serve a low and moderate income population. And we try to do our best to.
I just didn't want that to be discouraging. Send it out in the newsletter. It says $15, and I'd like to join, but I can't, and I don't have a vehicle to get to Brentwood, and I didn't want to be discouraging seniors from that. So that's good information.
Yeah. To give you one aside,
I do have one question for Mark. Mark, what happened to that other organization we were funding?
Ms. Hoover.
The one to help people get to the store.
We continue to fund Southwest Interfaith. In that program, however, the county's restructured that aspect of CDBG. So each year, part of our resolution supports their application. So they actually apply directly. We don't have to function as a bypass or a throughway for the money to them. But they get access to the CDBG through our allocation.
Okay, so we did actually write a letter of support, and they did get their funding this last time around. Because I didn't see that come through at all, and I wondered what happened. And I think that's a really good program for the aldermen that don't know what I'm referring to. The organization provides volunteer drivers to seniors to get medicine, take them to doctor's appointments. And we were allocating some of those funds, and it seemed... I'm glad it's this way, because there was kind of some tension between who should get the money, which project is going to where. So I kind of like the way this has turned out better, and we don't have to go through that again. So that's good. Thank you very much.
Alderman Mayer?
Fred, based on all those questions, I think you have potential applicants here.
NML?
Remember.
Well, you guys are all 39. You're not going to be there for a while yet.
I just want to say
thanks, Fred.
What a valuable asset this organization is to the community. When my parents were in this this organization, it was just such a great thing for them. And there's a transition in it. When they're younger, they do the driving and they're more of the active members. Then they transition to the less active members. And then even when my mom was at Harmony, the organization still supported her there. And it's just a great thing, a great social thing. It's a great thing to keep our seniors active, physically active, but mentally active and involved and engaged in society as well. So it's a great thing.
Some information. I think there's an open house or some informational thing for the interfaith program. I'll dig it up and get it to the alderman. Alderwoman Mayor.
I have a question. Is there a treasurer for your organization?
Leona Keene. Okay. We had Annabelle Gutman, who was our longtime treasurer. She unfortunately was terminally ill and passed away this summer. So there was a transition period where I was doing the treasurer's report and the president's job, and Leona Keene, who is sitting in the audience, raised her hand and she said she would take over. So we've been transitioning. I've been showing her what Annabelle did as best I could figure it out, because she isn't here to ask her exactly what. So we've done that. Yes, we do have a treasurer, and because we are a public charity, you know, we have to follow certain guidelines. We file our 990s every year.
Okay. I was giving Mark a little bit of a hard time the last couple of days because I didn't see the information in the packet that I would have wanted to. This was really nice information, so thank you for getting that. I wish it would have been in the packet.
Well,
and I thought I had given enough time for, you know, a decent proposal or report to be given, but I read through it, and it is very nice. I do have a question for you, Mark, regarding the numbers that you have on the original sheet and the numbers that you have on the spreadsheet. I guess I don't understand the Franklin Senior Social numbers. Kind of seems as though...
You'll notice a slight discrepancy between the numbers in what's listed on the council action sheet. Those high-level three numbers at the end, there was $325 when Lisa initially put it together that she listed under the senior social. That was really the three entertainment costs that they had that happened at the business luncheon. So she had $325 listed in the social down at the business luncheon. If you do the math from the more detailed monthly handout I gave, you just move that over, you'll see the numbers line up to the end.
Okay. And then as far as, you know, any organizations that you support, do you give money to the walking club?
No, they don't get any funds at all. They basically run themselves with donations and the generosity of Milwaukee County that gives them the rent of that facility for free.
You don't participate. I mean, you as individuals participate in the walking club, but you're not the walking club.
No, we're not the walking club. Our members do run it, though. And if they didn't run it, it would probably go out of existence because there wouldn't be anybody to go and get the donations or do the coffee or do anything.
Okay.
From a historical perspective, I can add that the city's money was for a period when it first started had to support that and pay rent.
Yep.
After the election of the current county executive, Chris Abley, he eliminated the need for that club to pay rent that facility, and so our funds stopped going towards that. So this program, through our reimbursement, did previously support that.
Okay, and then Mark, you said on your action sheet that due to the more stringent requirements of HUD, that the community block grant money can't be used for this. What are those more stringent requirements that this group wouldn't be able to?
So, summarized in one short phrase, it has to be for educational purposes to be able to be used. So it can't be what they would, part of the urban development, consider recreation or entertainment.
So when you are inviting people in from Aurora and all of that to educate seniors on health and different, you know, things that they should be doing, scams, all of that, that wouldn't be something that would be educational?
We had a recommendation from an individual who wasn't an auditor for them but was an advisor for them and went sort of pre-audit and went, looked at what you did and said, and they said because your cost is primarily associated with the non-educational component, a strict audit might likely find that to be non-compliant.
That, I find that really surprising because the travel program has to have the block grant money. And for me, this is much more educational and, you know, on that side than travel would be.
Well, just to be clear, the federal program does allow for travel. But again, we evaluate each one of those travel trips independently because only part of the travel program is CDBG funded. The other is from the same city, a similar city allocation as this program. So we evaluate each program and determine whether we believe it is going to meet the educational component. And then we, if so, then we, in turn, submit for reimbursement from the county through CDBG. A number of the programs, for example, but very popular ones are some of these shows at the Fireside Dinner Theater. And we don't submit those back through CDBG, but if we're participating in museum tours and things like that, we typically do. We work closely with Shirley and try to evaluate it and make sure that we can submit them to the extent that we're able to for CDBG.
And I think Shirley, when she comes up here to make her report, I think she will also tell you that, that each one of the people that goes on these travels, they have to pay a certain amount of money for that. I think she would tell you that.
Sure.
Like you know, $60, if it's $75, whatever the cost might be, I think she would tell you that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Alderwoman Evans.
Thank you for your report, and I hope you'll find a way to increase your membership out of the 7,000 to 8,000.
Well, we're going to start
seniors.
By inviting all the aldermen in turn to come and visit.
Okay. Thank you. And I also I hope in the future you might be able to come back to Franklin if we can get a larger venue for you that, instead of Clifford's.
I
know you were in the past.
Are venues here in Franklin, but as I said earlier, our favorite word is free. Where we
right.
go to Clifford's, it's actually included. The venue is included in the cost of the meal that they provide. So that when we checked out all the other ones, it was always a much higher cost to be here in Franklin. So, you know, we just couldn't do it. We'd love to come back.
Yeah.
We're hoping that the rumors and everything else that we hear all the time about a potential site will come true sooner or later.
I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay.
Sorry.
Darn.
Sorry, one last
Alderman
thing.
Mayor. By the way, this is on the agenda due to Alderman Mayor's efforts. So.
I do have a question. You know, I like this, and I appreciate seeing the numbers and that kind of thing, and I would like to recommend that this be every 2 times a year whenever the other travel program comes in. So if you're willing to start that up now that 40 years have passed, you're ready to start reporting, that would
be
awesome.
We have a lot of reports that we can give you.
Awesome.
No, you don't have to make up for 40 years.
Oh.
Right, we don't need.
You know, it might give us something to do.
All right, item G1.
You got to get rid of this, Mr. Mayor.
Casper, yeah.
Well, I had, you know, if you notice, there's 9 pages. I only read 4 of them.
G2, excuse me.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Casper. Thanks, Fred. Now, Mrs. Bird is my second favorite constituent, and as I mentioned earlier, she's being escorted by her son, Tom, who is chairman of the town of Vernon, town board. And she's assisted by Basil Ryan.
Well, this is a surprise. Who also has a handle.
Oh, okay. One other thing. Item G1, is there a motion to place on file?
So moved.
Second.
A discussion, seeing none, all the...
I'm sorry, do I need to make a motion or add to that, that they come back every...
Nah, we'll just have...
Okay.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries.
Mayor Basil.
Clerk wants
one. We got a charge, sir.